Some shows talk about one team. Other shows barely talk sports. This show will talk Packers, Brewers, and Bucks every day.
Every day.
It's Wisconsin Sports Daily
with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. Served up by Wendy's on 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan. Download the Wendy's app today.
All right, here we are at the Wisconsin State Fair. See Sparky Fiverr with you as we broadcast live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Sparky with you. Charlie Usen back in the studios. You can watch us live on YouTube. Just search The Fan Milwaukee. Watch our show each and every day from 2 to 5 or our other local shows. Andy Herman with the Pack-A-Day radio show, 8 to 9 every morning. Mason Crosby, the former Packers kicker, every day from 9 to 11 with Mitch Thunder Nellis. Plus our leadoff show 1 hour before every Brewers game. We're getting you ready with lineups. Pat Murphy, rewinds from the game before. Looking at the minor leagues, who's the build-a-winner courtesy of the Iron Workers. Each and every day, every show, right there on YouTube for you, or stream us on your Odyssey app as well, AUDACY. More baseball news as it is MLB trade deadline day. No, the Brewers have not done anything, but everybody else is making moves. The latest, Carlos Correa going home, back to the Houston Astros from the Minnesota Twins. Correa will play third base for the Houston Astros. With Paredes being out for the year, it looks like, or hurt for quite some time. Correa at third base for the Brewers. Would that have interested you, Charlie Usen?
Hell yeah, that would have interested me. Carlos Correa is one of the better power-hitting shortstops in the league and has been since he's gotten in the league. Now I know he's been injured and it hasn't been the same kind of production that he's had in the past. But at the same time, I mean, he's a proven commodity in this league and the Brewers don't have that.
Yeah, forget third base. He could have played shortstop in place of Joey Ortiz. Why don't screw with third base? But apparently the deal was Correa wanted to stay in Minnesota, and if he was going to be traded, he was only accepting a deal to the Astros. Well, that looks like that is done, according to Brian McTaggart, who covers the Houston Astros, his 22nd year covering the Astros. So Correa to the Astros. Meanwhile, Mark Fysand, who's covered baseball for quite some time with MLB.com, senior national reporter, see him on MLB Network. 10 minutes ago, the Astros were interested in Ryan O'Hearn, the outfielder from the Orioles, in their search for a bat. But, according to a source, Jesus Sanchez of the Marlins is now high on Houston's radar. As I reported a little while ago, O'Hearn's price tag remains high with 2 hours to go until the deadline. Remember, Ryan O'Hearn is the guy that's been connected to the Milwaukee Brewers for the last several days. If the price tag is high, you can kiss that one goodbye, because I don't see any world in where Matt Arnold is overpaying for Ryan freaking O'Hearn at this moment in time. All-star or not, I don't think they're overpaying for Ryan O'Hearn.
If he didn't pay a fair price for Eugenio Suarez, what makes anybody think he's going to pay an overpay for a Ryan O'Hearn? I mean, that just doesn't make any sense to the Brewers' way that they run things. Because of that, I doubt it happens.
That's the thing, though, right? So if all of a sudden we see O'Hearn goes to the Brewers, Charlie, and the Brewers give up better prospects than what it took to get Suarez, how mad do you think people are going to be?
Pretty mad. I'm going to be pretty mad. I feel like you're going to be pretty mad. I know Tommy Wirtz is going to be mad because he loves those prospects. If it takes more than two top 30 prospects to get him, if it takes more than one top 30 prospect to get him, then I think it's an issue.
Yeah, no doubt about it. This is the thing. When you talk about the Brewers and where they're at right now and how this gets to the next level, if they're right and if the Brewers decide they're not making a trade and we're an hour and 45 minutes from the trade deadline, they've done nothing. If they decide to roll with what they have with this, and if they go to the World Series, then everybody that's mad right now and furious that they've done nothing, all of us will have egg on our face at the end of the day, because they were right and we were wrong. However, if they get bounced early in this thing and they go home and it's because of lack of offense, then this fan base is going to have every reason to scream and yell throughout the offseason.
I think so. I think when you look at if they were to take this team that's currently as built to the World Series, yeah, we'd have egg on our face, but I hope every Brewers fan likes the taste of egg, because I'd be happy to have it on my face if that's how it works out. The problem is it very rarely works out that way, especially for this Milwaukee Brewers team from what we've seen over it just the course of the past five seasons or so, where they continuously get to this point where they're really good in the regular season, and then the postseason comes and there's glaring issues that they did not address, and it's all over again, the same issues.
This is pretty good. Trevor, who doesn't like my live on the air. Sparky, your lack of math skills is showing. I've not done math on the air one time today. Not once. I don't believe I've done math one time. Maybe I have and I don't remember, but I don't remember doing addition. I don't remember multiplying. I don't remember doing division. And I certainly have not done any subtraction on the air. I learned a long time ago, Trevor, doing math on the air is never smart for anybody. I don't care how smart you think you are, because it's just bound to go wrong. But either way, I'll read your tweet some more. The big market teams need to only spend a small percentage of the revenue to cover overhead. Okay, Trevor, the Mets spent 90% of their revenue. 90% of their revenue. The Brewers spent 41% of their revenue. That's a big, big difference between two teams. And if you're saying the Mets don't even have to do that and they did it anyhow, look at the difference in payrolls. I'll continue on. The Brewers must spend a much higher percentage because revenue streams are vastly different. Call out the MLB, not the Brewers. No, I'm going to call out the Brewers. Because by your logic, Trevor, then the Brewers should have been spending 90% of the revenue and not 41% of the revenue. This is on the Brewers. Because if the Brewers, again, even if they spend 50%, that's another $15 or $20 million added onto the payroll. That's a huge difference at this point. Huge difference. It's definitely on the Brewers. You can scream and yell all you want about MLB and payroll disparity and all of that. And I'm not going to disagree with you. But when you see that chart come out about percentage of revenue spent and the large market teams are at the top and outside of the Cubs, the small market teams are at the bottom, those are owners pocketing money. That's what it looks like to me. Y'all can have your own take on this, but that's what it looks like to me. Sorry, Charlie, I didn't hear what you said. What did you say?
All good. If we head over to the Nicolay Law Fan Talking text line, we got Al in Cedarburg on the line. Al, you're on with Wisconsin Sports Daily. Sparky.
Sparky, how's it going, man?
It's going good, man. Out here at Wisconsin State Fair, it's a beautiful thing. It's nice outside of the smoke, but it's nice breeze blowing out here at the Expo Building. I was really excited when I was here we were going to be at the Expo Building. I was like, man, if it's like 90, I'm going to pop inside every break to get some air conditioning. This is going to be great. At Summerfest, we cooked at Summerfest. There was nowhere to go. Here, though, there's all kinds of areas to go to get away, but it's gorgeous. It's going to be in the mid-70s all weekend. All the different foods you can have out here at the Wisconsin State Fair. We're across from the Milk House. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Betcha you didn't expect me to talk that long, Al, when you asked that question.
Well, hey, I mean, what I really wanted to know was, did you have a cream puff yet?
What'd you say, Al?
I said what I really wanted to know was, did you have a cream puff yet?
No. You know, funny thing, I'm not a big cream puff guy. I'm not really a big cream puff guy, Al.
Well, between that and then your distaste for what the Brewers are doing, I don't know what I'm going to do with you, Sparky, because you got to look at what the market is right now and what teams are getting for middle relievers and for back of the bullpen guys. I mean, I don't understand. For example, I was telling Charlie this on the when I was waiting. Look at San Diego. I think that could be some of the stupidest ownership and management in all of baseball.
Because they're trying to win a World Series?
They are, but Sparky, I get like the aggressiveness, but for what they are consistently giving up and missing and then not retaining guys, it's stupid. It's playing to a broken system.
They got a closer that they have 3 years of control with. The closer they have who's been good in Suarez, they kept and didn't trade. They could have traded him after they got the closer. They didn't. Dylan Cease is the last year of his deal. They could have traded him. They didn't. They kept him. They added pieces that they have control of going forward. They didn't just get rentals.
I agree. I think when you think about some of the prospects, though, and I'm all about not buying into hot prospects fully, but you think about what's his name, the number three overall.
Yes, they did. They gave up a lot. Yes.
So when I look at it from that way, I think Arnold's looking at this entire market and saying, look, I know I have a lot in my back pocket as far as prospects. They have a really, really good farm system. If anything, if they should do anything, it's maybe move Quintana to a contender to get back a more controllable piece or something. But no, you've got guys like Yelich saying they like what they've got in the locker room. They've got good chemistry. Why mess with it right now, man? Weren't we supposed to be good anyways? Let's just enjoy the ride.
Here's another trade. I was telling you about the Astros were looking at Jesus Sanchez. They just got him. Astros acquiring Jesus Sanchez from the Marlins for right-handed pitcher Ryan Gusto. Gusto is a guy that came up from the minors this year and has had some spot starts for the Astros. So Houston lands a lefty bat it had been seeking because they gave up on O'Hearn trying to get him at the trade deadline because that asking price is too high. But this is what I mean. Like, we can sit here and say the asking price is too high and they shouldn't be giving up these type of prospects. Well, either you're going to play the game or you're not. Clearly, the Brewers are deciding not to play the game and trying to win the deal instead of win the World Series.
I agree, and it is frustrating. So, I mean, I feel you, but, I mean, I'm just more along the lines of, hey, man, you know what? We're probably going to make the playoffs again. Who knows what could happen? Let's see where things shake out.
Yeah, that's where we are every year. Thanks for the call. I mean, realistically, that is what we do as Brewer fans every year, right? We're going to make the playoffs, and then let's see what happens. Anything could possibly happen. The problem is the Brewers fans have been waiting to have lightning strike in a bottle for the last decade. And has it happened? No. Have they got on that magical run? No. You've seen the Cardinals get in barely over 500 and get on some magical run all the way and win a World Series. The Brewers get in as the one seed, the two seed, the three seed. Pick a seed. And you don't see it. They haven't been out of the first round, I don't think, since 2018 when they went to the NLCS. And on top of everything else, like we've been talking about, Woodruff, you're going to lose after this year. It's a mutual option for $20 million. Highly doubt that's going to happen. Peralta, you have left for one more year. And then after that, you have Guy. Quintana's gone. He's a free agent. Cortez is gone. He's a free agent. So as we sit right now, is the rotation going to be good next year? Should be. But it's going to be a lot of younger guys, right? So it's Mizorowski, it's Priester, it's Robert Gasser, who looks good coming off of his Tommy John surgery. You're going to have him. Logan Henderson, Patrick. That's probably your starting five next year. And that's without even thinking of D.L. Hall or Aaron Ashby if they decide to go in that direction. That's without Tobias Myers. That's without Carlos Rodriguez and some of these other guys that are coming up. So, yes, the rotation will still be fine last year, but your top end guys, those top three, are not going to be like they are this year anytime probably in the near future at this point. And that's why I felt like there probably should be some sense of, listen, we got to go. This might be our best chance going forward of getting into the World Series for the next several years because we have three legitimate aces at the front of this rotation. And instead, that's not been the desired decision by the Milwaukee Brewers, Charlie.
No, it hasn't, but also we've talked about this before. With that 2011 team, it didn't really feel like the pitching was up to par with the bats, and that's part of the reason we felt like they weren't going to go as far. With this team, it just feels like the bats aren't up to the same level as the pitching, and I think if the Milwaukee Brewers are using the same kind of approach that they used that year, they look at that and say, you know what, maybe we can keep these guys around in the pitching staff one year longer and we can figure this out with the bats and maybe get one to two players in the offseason or get some of these young players in our development system to come up to the majors and maybe give us some help there. I think they're just relying on their farm system maybe more than they probably should in this situation.
The Rangers continue to be active. They, according to Ken Rosenthal, are acquiring left-handed pitcher Dandy Colombo from the Twins. Twins are rebuilding their whole farm system as we talk. Whole farm system is being rebuilt in Minnesota because the team did not live up to expectations, and now they're cleaning house like they should. To replenish their farm system at this point. Hey, Wendy's baby, let's talk about Taki Fuego chips. You like them? You love them? I know my kids love them. Listen up, because you've never had them like this, Wendy's new Taki Fuego meals are here. Sammy has a Taki Fuego chip intensity you love piled up on one of our fan favorite spicy chicken sandwiches with Taki Fuego chips, chili lime sauce, and creamy corn spread. The small Fuego fries get tossed in an intense chili lime seasoning. It's almost like the meal couldn't take any more Taki Fuego chip intensity. That's where the extra 1 ounce bag of Taki Fuego chips on the side comes in. Well, while supplies last, you can grab this Taki Fuego meal at Wendy's, open midnight or later, limited time only at participating U.S. Wendy's. I've been teasing, talking about Packers training camp for the last, half hour, Charlie, and I cannot stop talking about the MLB trade deadline, and I'm guessing we'll probably continue to talk about the MLB trade deadline, but I swear to you, I'm going to try again to talk about Packers training camp from earlier today. Other side, Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up hot and fresh by Wendy's. from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. Time now for your fan weather forecast. 74 degrees, and it still says smoke on my phone out here at the Wisconsin State Fair tonight. Low of 60. Welcome back. It's Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's, as we broadcast live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, out here at the Wisconsin State Fair by the Expo Building right across from the Milk House, brought to you by Gruber Law. Come on out, hang out with us, get some root beer milk on your way over here, and come check it out. Now, lots to get to and we're going to talk about Packers training camp a little bit. Charlie Sounds of the Day comes up here at 3:40. Don't forget, check out the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Thunder-Nellis weekday mornings from 9 to 11 here on The Fan. Mason always has something to say, good or bad. He's been critical of a lot of things, more critical than I thought he was going to be when Mason started his show on October. He is really critical of all the NIL stuff in college. Every day they're talking something NIL on that show. He is hot to trot on the NIL stuff going with college football. But anyways, I want to get back to this Brewers team here before we get to the Packers. KJ, West Allis, right where the Wisconsin State Fair is, you're next here on the Fan on Wisconsin Sports Daily. What's going on?
Hey, how you doing, Sparky? Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call.
Afternoon.
Sparky, this screams to me of the Brewers being typically not serious about winning a championship.
Right.
I mean, when you don't make any type of trade on the deadline day, that screams with the lineup that they have. It'd be different if they were. I mean, they had this unbelievable lineup, you know, of hitters and pitchers and this and that, backup players, but they don't. And, you know, I look at teams like the Seattle Mariners. The last time I checked, they're a small market team, right?
Yes. And, one second here. I just passed something. Hold on.
It's probably what I just sent you in our chat.
Ryan O'Hearn?
Yep.
Yeah, Ryan O'Hearn to the Padres. And they also get Ramon Loreno from the Orioles. A.J. Prowler said, burn the farm down. We're going to go try and win ourselves a World Series. That's what A.J. Prowler, the GM of the Padres, is doing right now. He essentially has emptied out, and I'm not even joking, his entire farm system to add guys to try to go win a World Series here. If it does not work, he's probably going to get fired. If it works, he's going to get a big extension, and nobody will care about their farm system going forward, KJ. But go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. And, you know, a team like the Mariners, they seem to be going all in. And they're in a very competitive market, just the way the Milwaukee Brewers are, division rather. And they went out and got Eugenio Suarez. Now, the dues that they traded for him are three prospects, something the Brewers could have easily done, but they didn't. You know, and you look at other trades. I looked at MLB Insider today, the draft show. A guy like Cedric Mullins, I'm not saying that they should have traded for him, but the Mets got him for three dudes that these guys on the show had never even heard of.
Yep.
I mean, you know, and those are the type of teams that are going to be competitive down the stretch. I would say the Brewers right now are going to be hard-pressed to just win their division with the team that they have. I mean,
but that's the thing, though. The Cubs haven't done much of anything either, though. But wait a second, KJ. The Cubs haven't really done anything. They added an old reliever. That's it. The Cubs haven't been super active themselves. Now, if you want to talk about the...
Look at the difference, Sparky. Look at the difference in hitting. It was very evident
one game. It was one game. The Brewers won two out of three, KJ.
I get it. And we'll see what they do in the next five games that they got to play, because those are going to be the pivotal games.
Yeah, they are. No doubt. KJ, thanks for the call. I got to roll, KJ. Thanks for the call. Yeah, you got five games starting the 18th. The Cubs hitting. Listen. Do they have more power, more slug, all that? Yes, they do. The Cubs have all of that. But you just took two out of three. Yeah, they put up a big number against Peralta on the Brewers in game three. But let's be honest. The Peralta streak of, what was it, 11 games winning? That was going to end at some point. I mean, Charlie and I were talking about it at the beginning of that game when it started. Peralta's due here to have a bad game. And that's exactly what happened. He struggled and didn't have a great game. And that Cubs offense that had been put into mothballs for the last several days was due to bust out and have a game. And that's what happened. Man, don't read into game three of that Cubs series and go, oh, no, the Cubs. Stop. That's not what it is. But the good news is, while the Brewers have done nothing, the Cubs have only made one move to this point for an old reliever that he might make a little bit of a difference for them, but they didn't get a stud by any stretch. They didn't go out and do anything else of the sort. They got Soraka, I guess, so they did add a starter. But even that to me, that's still not a big enough difference to turn the tide in the division as we sit here right now, Charlie.
No, and Soroka hasn't really been anything since he was in Atlanta. And even then, he got injured a couple times, and that's part of the reason he hasn't been a part of their organization for a few years now. It doesn't really help them all that much. And I know KJ's right. The bats for the Cubs are more veteran, have more experience. Those guys have produced more at the major league level. At the same time, look at the Brewers' pitching staff compared to the Cubs' pitching staff. If you're going to compare one side of the ball to the other side, you've got to compare it to the same team, too.
That's right.
I mean, the Cubs are struggling, man. That bullpen is not good. Ever since Craig Counsell came out and said that was the best bullpen he's worked with, they have not been good. And that's how most Cubs fans expected it to go. And they're doing the same thing the Brewers are right now. So they're in a pretty concerning spot as well at this moment with what they're doing at the trade deadline. The Brewers, all they have to do is make one or two moves, and I think they've probably had a better deadline than the Cubs.
Who's left? Who's left? I mean, tell me who's left. Preller and San Diego's got half of everybody else's team right now. Who is left at this point for them to go get? That's the problem. I mean, we've said it. All these guys we've talked about. We talked about Suarez. He's gone. We talked about Ryan O'Hearn to the Brewers. He's gone to the Padres, right? I mean, the Padres added, what did they add, six guys today? Five, six guys to that roster? That's insanity at this point. And I have not seen, unless I'm missing something, they still have Cease. They have not traded Dylan Cease as of right now. Again, we have an hour and a half left. But there's not much left that's going to move. There's a plethora of receivers out there, of relief pitchers, I should say, out there. So there's a bunch of relief pitchers. Now, will the Brewers just go add a relief arm and say they did something? Maybe. And hopefully that relief arm helps. But the top relief arms, those are gone. All those guys that are closers on bad teams, they're all off the board. So there's nobody to be had there. They're not going to add starting pitching. We know that. They have enough. So that's not going to be a thing. So I'd like to tell you that, oh, yeah, they can still get this guy, but I don't know who that guy is right now, Charlie.
The only person I can think of, and this is a guy that I don't even really know is fully on the trade market, just his team has been making moves, like a Yandy Diaz in Tampa Bay, is really kind of the only
player. He got hurt today.
Oh, well, there you go. Then he's not getting moved.
They pulled him out because when they pulled him out, Yandy Diaz, because he got hit by a pitch, I think.
Okay.
When they pulled him out, everybody's like, oh, it's trade deadline day, maybe. Uh-huh. And then all the insiders, Rosenthal, those guys are like, he's not being traded. He was just hit by a pitch.
They also said all that same stuff about Johan Duran when he was hugging his bullpen catcher the other day. And they said, oh, he's not getting traded. He just likes to hug his teammates. And then he got traded the next day. So I don't know.
That's true. Yep, you're right about that. Steve says, we have to face it. Adonacio will not spend to make this team a winner. It's the Ted Thompson way. Put a good team out there on the cheap, and if they win, great, that's a bonus. But winning a championship was never a Ted Thompson priority, and it's not for Adonacio either. Charlie, I think I agree. I think I agree with Adonacio versus Ted Thompson comparison. I think that might be a fair comparison between the two of them. Ted Thompson put winners out every year. They were in the playoffs every year, and they finished once. As Ron Wolf would call it, that was a fart in the wind. Remember the first time they went to the Super Bowl, and Ron Wolf talked about it. He goes, well, if we only win one, we're a fart in the wind. Nobody's even going to probably remember us. They went back the next year and lost, but that year they won, they were number one in defense, number one in offense, number one in special teams. They were the team. And Ron Wolf, unlike these cats, always went for it, always went to try and make those moves to try and put them in a position to push farther ahead and try to dominate. The reason Ron Wolf stepped aside was because of how everything was changing with a salary cap and free agency and this stuff that was going on where he couldn't go get who he wanted to go get anymore because he'd be dealing with the cap. He didn't want to deal with the cap. So he said, I'm done. I don't want to deal with all the math. I'm out of here. I just want to get who I want to get. And that's kind of how things change. The Thompson one, though, that is, I think, a pretty good comparison at this point. All right, here, let's see. Here's another one from earlier today from John Heyman. Clubs, this was 3 hours ago, and as far as I know, this guy's not been moved. If you saw him move, Charlie, tell me. Clubs that need controllable offensive shortstop slash third baseman may look at Daryl Hernandez of the Athletics. Always hit in the minors. Athletics have a plethora of shortstops. Plus, they got, what, the number three prospect in all of baseball. And Leo DeVries' acquisition from earlier in the day from Preller and the Padres. I looked that cat up. If you look at his numbers, that cat has hit, this guy here, this Hernandez, has hit over 300 at, like, every level, like 330. Does he have power? No. I think the most he's hit in a year is 12 home runs. But he is a solid hitter, 6 foot guy. He's not like 5'6", like half our team is, and with some pop. Now, that is a guy. Now, defensively, I didn't go into the defensive numbers, but offensively, he can play. That would also be a guy under team control. If you remember Tim Dillard earlier when he was on the 2 o'clock hour, he said if the Brewers are going to do something, it's probably going to be somebody that they're going to have control of for a couple of years at least if they're going to go make that move.
And honestly, defensively, if you look at the rest of the team, the amount of runs saved they get out of the rest of the defense, if he's given up a few more, I don't think that's your biggest worry right now. You need to get a guy with a bat that can be more consistent at the plate for these guys.
Yeah, that's just the thing right here. All right, so let's see if I have anything else here. We have to get to a quick timeout, get to Charlie's sounds of the day. Let's see. Astros working hard to land Dylan Cease. That's another one. That is from John Heyman. Who else said that? Rosenthal? Did Rosenthal have that?
I believe I saw Passan was saying they were working
on it. Passan had it. That's another one that had it. So we're going to find out. That deal, there's only one prospect going back in that deal for Carlos Correa. One dude.
How is that possible?
And the Twins are eating some of the money on top of it.
That doesn't make any sense.
So the Twins are eating money and giving up one. I don't care who the prospect is at this point. One prospect to go get Correa. That would have been nice at shortstop. And again, the reports were he wouldn't consider going anywhere but Houston. But I think I would have tried if I was Matt Arnold. And maybe Matt Arnold did try. But that would have been a huge up offensively at shortstop for this Milwaukee Brewers team. Coming up next, Charlie's sounds of the day. Three top clips of the day. It's Wisconsin Sports Daily served up by Wendy's. Out here at the Wisconsin State Fair as we broadcast live from the 1250 AM at 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer with you. Welcome back. Wisconsin Sports Daily served up hot and fresh by Wendy's as we broadcast live from the 1250 AM at 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios. Powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook out here at the Wisconsin State Fair. Right here at the Expo Building. Facing the Milk House, that used to be the Bucks Milk House, but they abandoned it. Thankfully for Gruber Law, they picked it up. So they got lines like you could imagine, like they always do at the Milk House. Highly recommend the root beer milk. That's my favorite. Right here off the infield entrance as well, you'll see the fan tent set up. And we're here every weekday to go along with it, 11 to 2. Thunder at the Fair with Mitch Nellis, like you just heard, every day out here. Then from 2 to 5, it's Wisconsin Sports Daily served up by Wendy's. And we'll also have the leadoff show powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Tommy Wirtz gets you ready for Brewers baseball 1 hour before every game all season long. It's a beautiful thing. He'll be on the air here tomorrow at the Wisconsin State Fair from 4:30 to 5:30 as the Brewers get ready to do battle with the Washington Nationals. Updating you on some of the other things going on here. A report here by John Heyman says Dylan Cease may be getting closer to going to the Astros. The Astros might also be getting a reliever to go along with that in that deal. So it may be Cease and a reliever to the Astros, Charlie. Meanwhile, another report, Mets and White Sox held talks about Luis Robert Jr. in recent hours. Trade obviously did not happen, per sources. He's going to stay with the White Sox. They got to pay this dude $20 million next year, or are they not going to trade him, be a horrible team, and get nothing for him, Charlie?
Bingo. That's what they do best, Sparky, is be a horrible team.
Good God, man. Like, that is absolutely horrible if that's going to be the way this thing is going to go
even
at the end
of
the day.
Even if they do pay him, $20 million is too much for what he's shown you in the past two seasons. That's crazy, too. Either way, keeping him is the wrong decision right now at this trade deadline.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, let's get to our top three clips of the day on Charlie's Sounds of the Day. What do we got, Charlie?
What sound clips will Chicago Charlie pick today for Sparky? Will Sparky become enraged? Will laughter ensue? It's time for Charlie's Sound of the Day. It's Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's on The Fan.
All right, first.
Oh, see, hold on a second.
What?
Eric Kratz tweeted out, former Brewers catcher with foul territory. We like Eric Kratz. He's been on our show.
Yeah.
Tweeted out breaking news. I quote tweeted and I said, please tell me this is a Brewers trade of some sort. So somebody else did the same thing. Please tell me the Brewers made a trade at Eric Kratz. He responds back with Mutombo waving his finger. No, 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 not today.
All right.
That's wonderful. There went any hope I had. All right, go ahead.
All right, first up here, we're going to hear from MLB Network's Jake Peavy as he ranked his top five World Series contenders between both leagues.
My top five World Series contenders, and here's number five, the Milwaukee okay. Brewers. Why is it? Because of Contreras, because of Yelich and Churio in the middle of that lineup, but I love the pitching. I love the starting pitching with the Mizorowski coming on, and now here's number four. The San Diego Padres are active at the deadline. We hear all kind of talks, but this team was a game away from winning the World Series last year if they can get by the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Hold on, pause that. Pause. Is this after the trades by Preller or before the trades by Preller?
Before the trades by Preller.
Oh, yeah, they're higher than four now. Uh-huh. All right, go ahead.
The Los Angeles Dodgers. Yu Darvish is going today to see what he's doing. The New York Mets, after the run that they made last year, Diaz has settled the back end of the game. Reed Garrett and some guys, they added Soto. After the run last year, this team is poised and ready to do it with Juan Soto this year. This team's been trying for many years and would have punched their ticket if they would have had some bullpen help over the last few years. I love the leadership, the complete baseball team. I think Dombrowski is going to do more for that pen. The Philadelphia Phillies are top contenders. But this team right here, they showed you last night, they have the belt. Until somebody shows me that they're ready to take on this lineup when they're healthy in the postseason, these are my top five. The Dodgers, like I said, they're the world champions. They believe they're going to do it again. They have the most overall talent, and I give them the edge right now when they do get healthy.
All right, look. First of all, I did not hear the Astros. Did you hear the Astros? I didn't hear the Astros.
I did not hear the Astros. He had the Astros at number six on his list.
He's five now. They're five now. Mm-hmm. The Brewers are going to slide right on down to at least six. Astros very, very busy. And if they get Dylan Cease, I know he hasn't pitched well, but the Astros know what they're doing most of the time when it comes to that. So I would not be surprised if you see the Astros, when Jake Peavy redoes this list on MLB Network, if he moves the Astros up to five, maybe the Brewers slide down a little bit here. And I would not be surprised if the Padres all of a sudden now move their way up maybe from four. Maybe they get in front of Philadelphia and get up there maybe to two to the Dodgers. The Dodgers cannot be happy with what is going on in San Diego. Like, there was talk San Diego was going to sell, and that they were going to be sellers and not buyers, and instead it's been the exact opposite. And not only have they been buyers, they've been all in buyers, adding like five or six guys today. It's crazy. All right, second clip.
All right, next up, we're going to head over to foul territory where Eric Kratz is one of the hosts. Buck Showalter, former MLB manager, was on the show discussing players being taken out of game in the middle of a game due to a trade.
With Rocco Baldelli, and he was pulling Willie Castro out of the game mid-inning. Then he had Griffin Jacks, his high leverage reliever, in a game.
Eric, that's a great point. From a competitive standpoint, once you start the game, that shouldn't happen. You know, you're playing these games that really mean something for not only the teams that are playing, but the teams on the other coast, so to speak. And, you know, once the game starts, those type of things shouldn't happen. I know, we're afraid he's going to get hurt, we're afraid that. You should have done this before the game started. There's a certain integrity of the game, I think, you lose when you're pulling people off the field that you might use that game.
All right, so this is the thing. Before I say that, Charlie, what's your response?
I mean, I agree with him. I think it's a little strange to be taking players out of the game in the middle of the game, especially if it's a situation where, like, the Orioles and Blue Jays were playing the other day, and the reliever from the Orioles just went over across to the Blue Jays to play in the second game of a doubleheader.
Yep.
Like, that's weird to me. Let him play through the game, finish the game.
Didn't you see the movie Moneyball?
I have
they were playing, and the reliever came right on over into the dugout. He's facing you tonight. Good luck. That's exactly what happened. I don't have a problem with it whatsoever. I really don't. And, you know, we saw the incidents with the Mets a few years ago where the Brewers and Mets apparently had a trade. This dude comes off the field. He's crying and bawling into the dugout. Right. Crying and bawling. I don't want to go to Milwaukee. Anybody want Milwaukee? All right, dude, fine. Stay in New York. Screw this. And the Brewers ended up with a much better deal at the end of the day anyhow. So, I don't mind it. Does it stink for the player? I guess. But what do you tell the general managers? No, you can't make a trade when you're playing another team or whatever. Like, no. That's a great chance for them to make a deal because they're both GMs are in the same building, in the same room, hashing out a deal.
Yeah, but let the guy finish the game out. I think when Wilmer Flores got traded like 2 years after that for real, when he got traded to the San Francisco Giants, the Mets let him finish the game out, and then they like traded him essentially. So,
right.
Like, you could do that. Just don't take him out of the middle of a game. I think that's weird, where you have to change. You're messing up your manager. You're messing up the clubhouse in-game. I think it's more so just wait till after the game. It takes an extra hour. That's all it's going to be.
No doubt. All right, third clip.
And last up here, we're going to head over to the NBA on ESPN, where Tim Bontemps, ESPN NBA analyst, was discussing the NBA announcing Europe games yesterday.
The NBA announced today that two regular season games, they're going to be played this year across the pond. The Magic and the Grizzlies will face off. It's the Bane Bowl, if you will. They'll play in Berlin, and then they will play in London. Tim, what does the Euro games here mean long-term for the NBA? Chop it or drop it.
Now I'm chopping it. We go from Saint-Tropez, where LeBron was with Miska Razatovic, to Berlin, where the NBA will be playing their first game in Berlin. This all goes back to the NBA Europe plan that the league is potentially looking to enact over the next couple of years. Could be an expansion for the league, try to make a bunch of money over in Europe. Going into Berlin for the first time, again playing in London. They're going to eventually play in Manchester. This all points toward that league trying to get off the ground at some point here in the near future.
That's correct. This is about making LeBron James even more money than he's already made already. You got Maverick Carter, who is got a bunch of billionaires that are going to try and start an NBA league in Europe and essentially take down the Euro leagues over there. That's essentially what they're trying to do. They're going to try and take down a league that has been going for 100 years by using money to attract all those players out of the Euro leagues to play in their league in Europe. And LeBron James and the NBA are going to help LeBron's guy. I'm sure LeBron James is getting a big cut of this to try and make this all work. I'm sure there'll be a TV deal, a streaming deal, and all of this kind of going forward. Then you want to know, I'll make another prediction, that will eventually become the farm system to the NBA. There will be a European farm system outside of the G League here in the U.S. You'll be able to have rights to different players in Europe as well. And it may change everything going forward.
So kind of like a Dominican Summer League in baseball? So you're just going to copy basically the whole baseball minor league system? I think that's a good idea. I think the NBA and basketball, the way it's exploded across the globe, you're seeing players like Yang Hansen get drafted from China earlier this year.
He looked good in Summer League.
Exactly. You're getting players that are coming from everywhere. I think it was five or six of the first-round players were from a foreign country. Like that's insane. You might as well start developing the players as soon as possible if they're going to be getting developed anyways. Might as well be by the NBA, too.
Now we're going to find out how this plays out going forward. We've talked about the NFL having teams in Europe and having their own division in Europe probably in the next 10 to 20 years at some point. I think that's going to happen. But by having your own league that you have control of, the NBA doesn't have to go have teams in divisions and all of that stuff in Europe. They can have their own league that they would have some say over with Maverick Carter. So we'll see how that progresses going forward. We'll take a quick timeout, come back on the other side. It is already 4 o'clock. Charlie, where did your day go, man? You've been rolling since Thunder at the Fair at 11 a.m. That got done at 2, stayed with me all the way through our show. Only an hour to go for Charlie. Then what? What's the plan?
Laying down on a couch and not talking for the rest of the night. That's the plan.
You know what? I will say that that's something that I don't think I've ever been capable of. not talking.
Yeah, I believe that.
That's been a struggle for me. I think my family would agree. Like, I don't ever shut up. My kids don't ever shut up. Like, it's a common thing in our house. So it's okay, though. All right, take a quick time out. Come back on the other side of the 4 o'clock hour. We are 1 hour now away from the MLB trade deadline being officially over. To this point, the Milwaukee Brewers today have done nothing. Every other contender and top team in Major League Baseball have done a lot outside of the Cubs. They've got two players. That's not really considered a lot based on what a lot of these other teams are doing. The Padres have burned their farm system to the ground and have added like five or six players at the deadline. So we'll see which way is the smarter way. Maybe the Brewers will make a trade here in the next hour that we'll get to talk about. And if not, we'll all just be depressed for the rest of the night if they don't do anything. He's Charlie Huzins. He's Sparky Fiverr, Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's, live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM The Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook, out here at the Wisconsin State Fair, just outside the Expo Building.